Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolution.org Hardcore 2.0 is coming your way. This is episode 188. Today we're going to talk about the best cut stacks for someone who eats super clean by Europharma. So in this one, we're going to go over what is clean eating. A lot of people don't understand what that is. They don't understand how you're supposed to eat clean. We're going to talk about why eating clean makes it easier to cut. We're going to talk about cutter steroid choices from Europharma. And we are going to discuss effective cutter stacks and dosing so that you can try the different ideas from Europharma. And then we're going to get over why Mobster says Europharma is the GOAT brand. It's one of his favorite brands out there. First, remind everyone, we are on Apple. We are on Spotify as well. We have different platforms. It's very important to check us out on all the platforms. And make sure you smash the like button. Make sure you leave ratings. Make sure you leave comments. Because when you do that, it helps the algorithms pick up the podcast. And it helps us reach more people so we can keep this podcast going. Otherwise, we won't be able to do this podcast anymore. So this is a community-based podcast. This isn't like other podcasts where they buy followers or they use clickbait to attract followers. Seems like that's all they're doing right now in every industry. Even like fishing videos I watch, it's clickbait. It's a clickbait title, and then they have a picture of something that, you know, to make you click on it versus giving you good quality knowledge and information. So we're talking about less than 1% of content out there is quality information. So we bring you the quality information on this podcast. So very important for you guys and gals out there to help us out so we keep it going. So let's get into the first topic. What does clean eating mean? What does clean eating mean? Now, a lot of people out there don't know how to eat clean. They don't know how to diet, you know, properly. It's not like we grow up being taught proper nutrition. Who's supposed to teach you proper nutrition? It's your parents. Well, a lot of us grew up, you know, eating poorly. You know, our parents didn't have time to cook us proper meals, to use quality ingredients. A lot of you, you know, grew up eating, going out to dinner. I know people, they go out to dinner every night, Mobster. Every night as a family, they go out to eat somewhere. They don't have a home-cooked dinner. And even if they do have a home-cooked dinner, the ingredients are very poor, you know, and they're eating a lot of crap food. So one of the first things right off the bat when it comes to clean eating is avoiding restaurant food, avoiding fast food, avoid takeout food. The quality is going to be very low and it's not going to be clean. They want to use the cheapest ingredients possible because they're trying to make as much margins as possible. It's a very, very tough business. So I don't care how many millions of dollars a company spends. Subway, for example, they spend billions of dollars in advertising, multi-millions of dollars, whatever. It seems like it's billions, probably multi-millions, right? They have a guy on there who says, oh yeah, I lost all this weight eating Subway every day. So people, they buy into that. Or you have Michael Jordan shooting basketball and he sits down for a rest and he pulls out a Big Mac and eats a Big Mac. This is advertising. So we're very, you know, brainwashed out there when it comes to nutrition because we see these people who are very convincing and it's marketing and you'll watch that and it'll get in your head. Yeah, Michael Jordan eats a Big Mac. Why can't I eat a Big Mac? I mean, come on, really? Tiger Woods used to do commercials for Buick, yet when he got in his car accident, it wasn't a Buick that he crashed. In fact, he didn't even have a Buick in front of his house, okay? You really think he drives around in a Buick? No, he gets paid to promote for Buick. Michael Jordan gets paid to promote Big Macs. They don't actually eat that food. McDonald's, for example, if you're an Olympic athlete, for years, McDonald's provided you with free meals, okay? When free meals, when you're traveling, they provide you with airfare, they provide you with luggage, they provide you with money to spend, they provide you all this stuff to Olympians. So of course the Olympians are going to turn around and recommend McDonald's because they're being paid, they're being sponsored by them. The US government does not sponsor our Olympians. It's dependent on corporations to sponsor Olympians. Most countries are not like that. I think we're probably the only country that does that. So of course these Olympians are going to, you hand them here's $100,000, push McDonald's to people on Instagram. You think they're going to turn that down? They need to make money somehow, right? They don't have a real job, quote unquote. They have to go train every day to make the Olympics, to qualify for the Olympics, to win the Olympics. They don't have time to work a 9-to-5 job. So we're basically completely brainwashed by marketing, and it's nonstop. You go to a sporting event. Who's sponsoring the sport? Who has signs up sponsoring the sporting event? It's beer companies. It's junk food. You go to get a meal at the sporting event. It's all fast food joints. You can't get anything healthy at a sporting event. It's all junk food. So really, at the end of the day, clean eating is basically, I'll put it this way, if they're advertising on TV, if they're advertising at a sporting event, if athletes are pushing their product, it's not clean. You've got to go and buy your own food and food prep your own food. And we're gonna give you some tips on how to eat clean in a second, but I'm gonna leave a mobster on this because it's not as bad as the UK, but it's still pretty fucking bad. I'm sure they sponsor rugby
We're not
players
a
too.
million miles behind you, Steve. We've literally probably in the last 5, 10 years stopped having those chocolate coated, cocoa powdered coated cereals promoted for kids to have for breakfast. And these things are meant to be a treat. In reality, they were being given to them every single fucking day and adverts just when the kids were finishing school, specific adverts at that time of day. Mum, get me this, dad, get me that. So, look, right? Something just kind of interesting, and of course, it applies to the listeners of this show, is that it's been said about bodybuilding that we kind of, as bodybuilders, weightlifters, were more interested in sports nutrition and the idea that food could be used as a tool to encourage us to get bigger muscles, stronger muscles, and athletically run faster, and so on and so forth, more than other sports had done in the past. And one of the benefits of that was that other athletes realized the power of proper, clean, functional food. Just to back up something Steve said, I don't know that this applies to every single diet type organization, but I believe. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's fine. But organizations similar to Weight Watchers, I'm being careful with my words here, have point systems that allow you to eat certain what we would call unclean food, less than ideal, not nutritionally optimal food, if you had a small amount on a less than frequent basis, certainly less frequently than you would previously do before when you got overweight, when you were fat, etc. And the idea is that, or you could still have chips or fries, as the Americans would call them, but only if you do it like on a Thursday or something, because that's 10 points. But otherwise, you should eat this, and otherwise, you should eat that. And the reality is that's still rewarding you for eating shit. I've told a story of one of these shows, probably when I first did these shows with Steve many years ago, that when I was living in Gloucester, I actually put my name forward. It would have been a voluntary position, something within the community, Steve, where it would have been my job to take people that were struggling with their diet around supermarkets and teach them how to read the labels of food. Now, that sounds a bit silly if you think about it. We're assuming that the great and vast majority of population in pretty much every country this show goes out to can fucking read and certainly should be able to read a word on a label. But what they're not doing is kind of understanding that there's all these additives, why glucose syrup is bad for you, and so on. And I've told the example, Steve, of literally a young mum, single mum, couple of kids, struggling to get shit done, kids are at school, mum needs to do a part-time job. Blah, blah, blah. Is it difficult to prep the food, like Steve said, with the kids and after school classes and doing the work? Has she got time to sit down when she's got the kids back from school and make a meal from scratch? Maybe not. Maybe not as often as she'd like. So I said, look, I can buy, same as you can in the States, Steve, a $5 or $10 pizza frozen from the supermarket freezer section. And it's enough to feed me and my two kids if I'm a single mum. It's 4,000 or 5,000 calories in one of them things. Big ones, 18-inch pizza, $5, $10. Still now, not the ones that have just been made, not the ones from the hot food counter, the big frozen fuckers. These are not nutritionally great. But why didn't she go then, but be to the hot counter and buy a pizza base and then get some of the ingredients, because that stuff is quite often by the hot food counter, and you take the kids and you together make a pizza with all their favorite toppings. And you've made it. And even though it's still not the best food, it's a darn sight better than the stuff from the freezer section that's been prepped for you. When I did the voluntary youth work here, I was actually told by the social worker from Ronnakana Taf, the local council, about how the valleys, and I live in one of the valleys, the three valleys, as they called it in South Wales, the valleys, had, as well as one estate in Scotland, the kids of a certain age had some of the worst teeth or tooth decay in the UK, the whole of the United Kingdom, the whole of Great Britain. And this was because mum and dad were both working part-time jobs, typically, say 20 to 30 hours a week instead of 40, 50 hours a week. And kids are at school, and there's one parent at home when the kids are coming from school, one parent there in the morning because of the shift work, because of the way that they're working. And it's very, very difficult for the kids at school, mum and dad, to then come home and peel some vegetables and cook a meal from scratch again. And so they were having a lot of ready meals, even if it was coming from the supermarket and not from fast food. And the ready meals, and I know this for myself, I've worked in food processing, were made to a price. And that included glucose syrup to sweeten cheap cuts of meat to make the meat taste nice. And so it tastes like a nice piece of meat, but in reality, it's a cheap cut, made to a price for the supermarket and sold to feed a family. And because this glucose syrup is essentially crap, really bad for you, if you're having these ready meals on a regular basis, plus those chocolate covered cereals in the morning, your nutrition is shit. And Steve and I, and I'm sure a few of our listeners can do this, and I've been a judgmental prick about this in the past, Steve, many, many years ago, shortly after I arrived there. I remember doing it. I try not to do it, but I have done it. Where I have saw a obese mum and an obese dad and an obese daughter pushing their trolley around the supermarket. And I think you've commented on this in one show some years ago again. And all that was in there was the original formula, 2 liter bottles, so 3 pints, 4 pint bottles of full fat Coke, pizza, and some kind of dessert. There was no fruit and vegetables, there was no raw meat. There was nothing they were going to cook from scratch. In fact, they had the other thing wasn't dessert, Steve. It was bags of what you call chips, the big family size bags of chips, what we call crisp. So crisp, pizza, and Coke. And there was nothing else in this trolley. Nothing else in there. No fruit juices, no fruits, no raw vegetables, no cuts of, there was nothing in there of serious, proper nutritional value. So I would argue that I kind of agree with Steve. It's kind of weird because of the information that's out there on the internet, the information of books you can buy, the education that's possible versus what people actually do. And I get it. Food can be a reward. If you worked hard, if you've done well at school, let's go out and have a treat. I know from talking to American friends, including Steve, just how common it is for dad, who's done a 55-hour blue-collar job. He doesn't want to come home. He doesn't. The wife has had the kids all day or at school and done the after-school classes. They don't want to cook a meal from scratch because that's another hour's work with the washing up. My dad working hard. I want to look after my family. I will take you to the nearest fast food. And we'll sit down and we'll have a big slap-up dinner. And thank lucky that we have the money to be able to do this. And we live in America. Keep doing well at school, kids. The problem is ultimately, like Steve said, everything's made to a price. The restaurants have got to make a profit. The supermarket, Subway's got to make a profit. They've all got to make a profit. And they do this by not giving you premium stuff. Premium costs proper money, a really high quality steak that you could cook yourself which might cost you $20. I've spent that on a real, I spent more than that on one of those Japanese Wagyu steaks thing from Japan, not from British Wagyu cattle, but from actually Japan, cost me close to $40, which is fucking amazing, mind. Versus that would cost me $100 to eat in a restaurant. So just that kind of level of stuff. Now, as I said, what's been happening for a while, and probably arguably, Steve, the last 40 years, maybe more, is that over time, bodybuilders, and then, as I said earlier on, athletes have started to realize it's the analogy that we've used on some of these shows is fuel. And I use the analogy of a high-end sports car, like a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. You could, but you should never put in, and you wouldn't put in. You've not saved up your $250,000 to buy a high-end sports car. You wouldn't put low-grade, cheap lubricants in there. You wouldn't put in the low-grade oils and gas, petrol, as we say in this country. You just wouldn't. You'd put in the high octane because you've got a car that can do 180, 200 miles an hour. 180 is 300 kilometers an hour, Steve. You wouldn't put in the low grade shit. You don't want to see smoke coming out of the back of your Ferrari. You don't want your car to red light, red line at a lower rev because you put pure fuel in. You want your car to be able to do 180 miles an hour, 200 miles an hour. So over time, the bodybuilders, even strength athletes, we see this as strongman now, and especially in athletes and baseball players, ice hockey, pro American football, soccer in this country, or even movie stars. Steve, how many times have we seen movie stars for action movies hire a proper nutritional chef or nutritional advisor to get into shape for these movies? Because they understand, every single one of those people understands that what they're putting in is going to be up on the big screen. What they're putting in is going to affect the performance on the field of play, and even their
Yeah.
longevity, their ability to play again and again. So talk a little bit about that, like we talked about in the past.
Yeah, and you don't need to hire an expensive chef. Really, you need four things. So what I do, I food prep twice a week. I'll go to the grocery store, I'll get enough food to last me 3 or 4 days, and then I'll come home and I'll food prep either that day or the next day because I want to make sure I cook my food as soon as possible, especially when I'm getting good quality meats. You don't want to let raw meat sit in your fridge for too long. I learned that a long time ago, especially with chicken. You definitely want to cook chicken as soon as possible, and you want to cook beef within 24 hours. So food prep twice a week. Really, you need only four things. A grill. You can get and really you don't even have to buy a grill. There's parks all over the place that have grills. So you can just take the charcoal, put it on there, clean it a little bit, and then you could fire it up, or you can buy your own grill. You can buy a cheap $20 grill, small $20 grill, or you could buy a gas grill, which would long t over the long term save you money. You just have to replace the propane every maybe a couple times a year. Air fryer would be number two, and there's air fryers. You can buy them online anywhere from $40 up to like $150. I have one sort of in the middle. I think mine was like 70 or 80 bucks. I like there's several different types of air fryers. There's ones that have a rotisserie that you can spin, and there's ones that you just put in the food in there. You can put potatoes and chicken, and you can cook anything. I like to cook chicken in the air fryer. It comes out really good. And that's very simple to do. Like literally it doesn't take an hour. It takes an hour maybe in the air fryer to cook chicken. You're looking at 20, 30 minutes, whatever. You want to make sure you have a temperature. You want to make sure the poultry is cooked to about 170, 175. I like to cook even up to 180. But what you do is literally you prep it, you put it in there, you set the air fryer and does the work for you. So it's not like you're cooking physically. So you can go do whatever. You can go come on evolution.org or listen to a podcast while it's being cooked. And by the time the podcast is over, it'll be done. Very, very simple. Another thing is a stove pan. How hard is that? And you don't even have to have a kitchen to they have stove pans you can go buy from the hardware store that literally just plug up into the wall and you just get a pan, you put it on there and it heats it up. There's people that go camping with battery operated stove pans, and that's an easy job. You want to make sure you're not using those spray on oils. I use like a touch of raw coconut oil. That's it. You don't want to use too much, just a touch of raw coconut oil. And you can cook anything in a stove pan. Eggs, chicken, beef, anything. And then the last one is rice cooker. And you say, well, Steve, I don't eat rice, whatever. But even if you don't eat rice, a rice cooker is great for vegetables. It's great for just about anything. You cook oatmeal in it. You can cook all kinds of things in a rice cooker. And again, rice cookers, you can go on Amazon and buy one for like a nice one for like $30. It's not expensive. So these are all options you can do. And literally, with those four things, you could literally prep twice a week anything you can imagine. Any type of beef, chicken, vegetables, rice. You know, anything, oatmeal, there's all kinds of things you can prep and you can have food for days and you store them in containers and you put them in your fridge. And then whenever you're ready for a meal, you pull the meal out. Come on the forum. There's lots of guys who are
Yeah.
logging and they'll have pictures of their food prep. And
Steve,
that makes a huge difference.
yeah. I was just going to say, if you look at every single top professional bodybuilder, we talk about this many times. Steven just touched upon it. On the forums, we see the guys at meal prep, all things considered, will have the greatest success. And it's almost boring. Almost. There is a way to spice this stuff up, and I'll touch on that. But it's chicken breast. It's lean cuts of beef. It's rice, exactly like Steve said. It's a handful of colorful vegetables. It's a handful of nuts. This is what, when we talk about eating clean, there's no processed food. We've touched upon other shows when we talk about buying local produce, buying grass-fed beef, buying free-range or poultry, buying free-range eggs from the free range poultry and so on and so forth. So organic, local, free range. But it's almost boring. There's even been a meme, and it was from a Lad Bible type website. It's a British, young British lady. He ended up being very muscular and doing quite well for himself. And he even done a tongue in cheek video with another famous for wanting to have a fight, this tiny little Northerner who was always offering people out for a fight. So the young lad is doing his video, Steve, and he says, "They got me on a diet to get into shape for this competition." And he's just making his way into the whole bodybuilding competition journey. And he's literally, it's like, there's chicken and rice in the morning and fish and rice at lunchtime. And then sometimes chicken in the afternoon, followed by fish and rice. And he kind of repeats this like a monotone, almost, oh my God, I can't imagine it being that boring diet. But the irony, as I said, they went back and interviewed him 4 or 5 years later, and he was hench as fuck. He trained his ass off, he'd done a little bit of gear, and he'd eaten clean, and he was hench as fuck. He doubled his size, and he filled out, and he was muscular in all the right places. So the joke was the diet was boring as fuck, but he got the last laugh because he ended up built, stacked, and in shape. So it can be a little bit boring. One more suggestion, Steve, before we talk about why it's like easier to get cut by eating clean. And I've talked about this. So meal prep yourself some chicken breast. Just an example, Steve. You go out and you buy the free range chicken and you get, I don't know, 10 pound of chicken breast. This is going to last you a couple of weeks. You've got other things you can eat, but this is just prepping a chicken breast. And I've literally said you cook them all at the same time in the oven, underneath the grill, air fry, whatever. And I would literally put foil on every single tray, put six, seven, eight chicken breasts on every single tray. And I would season each tray differently. So one might be some sort of lemon chicken season, something else might be some sort of herb, something else might be some sort of spice. Because I can't imagine, it would drive me absolutely fucking crazy eating the same bland, unflavored chicken. But I can even make, we've talked about this, Steve, you and I, making your own seasoning or making your own dressing. Steve's give you recipes on other
Yeah.
shows.
Yeah, so I'm gonna
You make
give
your chicken
you
dressing.
a
Yeah, give them,
really
but just literally spice your food, a
yeah,
little bit of cultured veg. If you can give them a seasoning suggestion, yeah, go on.
let me give you the best thing for chicken. Smoked paprika, lime, black pepper, and salt. Boom, you're done. Mix it all up together and let it marinate for, a couple hours, right? And then you'll be good to go. The salt will help preserve it. The lime will help preserve it. And also, the smoked paprika will give it a nice taste, and it's very easy to digest. So, that's very important. Also, with chicken, Same thing with eggs. If you're not getting high quality, you're wasting your time. Same thing with beef. If you're not getting high quality, you're wasting your time. Because low quality chicken has polyunsaturated fat. It's going to clog up your arteries. It's going to catch up to you. Same thing with beef. You get grain finished beef, you're missing out on the vitamins and minerals that are found in grass-fed beef. Think about it. The cows are outside in the sun, absorbing that sun, eating the grass that's absorbing that sun, versus cows stuck in barns with their head in vises eating out of a little thing. Basically, they just eating shit, eating shit, eating shit all day in the same spot. And then they slaughter them. It's just like, it's not only inhumane, you know? I mean, the animal's gonna die anyway. I get it, but at least you can die with some humility, you know? But like, at the end of the day, it's not healthy. The what they're feeding, it's like going fishing and going to a sewer, you know, where the sewage leaks into the little pond and then catching a fish in there and eating that fish versus going and eating a fish out of a clean ocean, you know, with blue water. You know, completely different. It's going to taste completely different. Farm-raised fish versus wild fish, same thing. Guess what's better for you? Obviously, wild fish, because they're out, they're eating. The best tasting fish, you know, are the fish that are picky eaters, and they eat things from the ocean. And if you take that same fish and you put it in a big aquarium, which they do, they have these places in China and in America too, these farms where they raise these fish, they feed them a crap load of garbage, and they grow so fast, and then they kill them, and then they ship them, you know, and they sell them, and they're a hell of a lot cheaper than wild fish. I had some genius tell me one time, like, I'm not paying for wild fish, it's four times the price. Well, there's a reason it's four times the price, you fucking idiot. It's because it's a lot harder to take a fishing pole and go out there and catch a wild fish than it is to fucking get an aquarium and put a little baby fish in there and grow it and have it and feed it a bunch of crap to make it grow fast, you moron.
One of my things I like that I'm at this position in life, Steve, I will buy the dry aged grass-fed beef, and trust me, guys, it is worth every extra fucking few bucks I have to pay over the cheap stuff. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Another idiot
Yeah.
once said on the forum one time, he's a fucking idiot. He said, "Oh, it doesn't taste. It tastes. I don't like the way it tastes. I don't like how grass is." No, you dumbass. You're used to eating the crappy quality beef, so to you, that's normal for it to taste like that. So when you eat something that's actually the way it's supposed to taste, it's abnormal to you. Does that make sense? So it's just hilarious the way people are so brainwashed and so ignorant when it comes to nutrition. It's like when people come to my house and they eat burgers, right? I'll cook burgers, I'll have a party, and they'll be like, "Wow, Steve, you are a great chef. You make the best burgers I ever tasted in my life." I go to them, I said, "I'm not a professional chef." And they look at me shocked, and I'm like, "The only difference is I'm cooking high quality beef that's grass fed that came." I say, "If you drive that road, right, and you see those cows along the road, that's where I'm getting my beef. It's local beef
And
that's
Steve,
fresh. You're
it's
eating crappy beef from Walmart, and that's why you're like it doesn't taste as good." And they're like, "Wow."
and you don't make friends with salad, Steve.
And heaven forbid they spend an extra dollar to a pound for grass-fed beef versus the low quality Walmart beef. Heaven forbid you spend an extra dollar too. But you can go spend money on steroids, thousands of dollars on steroids, but you can't spend an extra
Oh
dollar.
God, yeah,
Okay.
exactly, guys.
Shut
You're
the
investing
fuck
in
up.
yourself. You're investing in yourself. Look, why is it easier to cut when we eat clean? I'll start with the obvious, guys. You are controlling the variables. Imagine, as we've already said, that you go to a restaurant with your family. What's in the sauce? Is this organic? Is this grass-fed? Some places might promote that, Steve, but for the most part, you don't know. You don't know what the chef's putting into the sauce. Some places, really high-end places, are, ironically, Steve, allow you to see the steak being cooked, allow you to see things being prepped, and you can see what's going in. But most places, you can't. Most places that we're going to treat our family, you're not going to see that. So you're controlling the variables. The reason why bodybuilders, and especially competing bodybuilders, people doing a challenge, doing a cut, whatever, eat this way is they're controlling the variables. If they know that they go to the gym, like our listeners, and train their fucking asses off, that's one variable. They control the steroids. They've gone to us. They've listened to this show. They've used Europharmacies as a great brand. They know that these products are good to go. We'll talk about that later on. So the next variable is what is going in their mouth. They can scowl weight, Steve. How many times have we seen people with the best results using scowls? I watched a show the other day, Steve, and the guy said, if I told him to eat 20 grams, he ate 20 grams. He weighed it, and he would weigh it on fucking camera in front of me, and he would eat 20 grams of this or 50 grams of that. When you have that level of control by having a clean diet, if for something is not quite working, it's that much easier to remove it or lower it or to make it go up or whatever, and watch the scale, look in the mirror, do the skin calipers and say, look, I'm getting leaner, I'm getting more cut, and so on and so forth. And I've used this story before, Steve, when I talked about the 2008 Mr. Olympia Dexter Jackson. And when we've done the whole if it fits your macros bullshit, Dexter Jackson essentially said something along the lines of the following. I am known as the Blade. It is my nickname. And I'm known as the Blade because every single competition I go to and I compete in, even if I don't win, I'm in shape. I'm never out of shape. Obviously, when he won, he'd be in the best shape ever. But even when he came second or third or fourth, Steve, he was still in a lot better shape than 99% of those people he was competing with. And he said, I don't do if it fits your macros. I have arguably some of the best genetics for being in shape of anybody. For years, he started as a lightweight, took him 20 years to become a heavyweight. He's in shape, he's in shape, he's in shape. He wins the 2008. He's retired now and he's still in fucking shape. And he's in shape because he ate clean. Didn't always like training hard. I had to get people to push him like Charles Glass, but he ate clean. And that's the reason why even when he lost, he was still in great shape. And when he won, he was in amazing shape because he controlled the variables, because his diet was clean, because his diet was calculated, because his diet was weighed. And if the person with arguably at that period of time the best genetics for getting into shape ate clean in order to be the most in shape, then everybody else must learn from someone like that. With the best genetics, I still need to eat clean. So you go, if you eat clean, if you do the things that we've talked about, if you understand why it's important, same thing with the sports performance car, like I said earlier on, then you understand that you get the best out of yourself in the same way that you get the best out of that car, by having all the variables under control. The amount of sodium that you consume, the amount of water that you hydrate yourself with, by weighing your sweet potatoes, by understanding the difference between cooked weight and uncooked weight, and all these kind of things, by trimming the last bit of fat off your beef, by removing the skin from your chicken breast, by doing all those things, as you start to get in shape, what can I do to improve my shape? Oh, well, I can take the skin chicken breast off. Oh, I can start reducing my sodium. Keep that to 6 grams a day. Oh, I will literally Steve, talk about the reason why clean makes it easier to eat a cut, and then we'll start talking about.
So here's another. I mean, I hate. I'm not trying to be an asshole, guys. I mean, you guys know me. I'm the exact opposite. I'm not a blame the victim type of person, and I'll never be that type of person because that never works. Pointing your fingers at people and insulting them and all this stuff doesn't work. But at the end of the day, like, I didn't wake up on the right side of the bed this morning. Let's put it that way. And look, at the end of the day, I'm going to call you out if you say stupid shit. Another stupid thing I hear from people is, oh, it's okay to have a cheat meal once a week. Why? Why do you need a cheat meal once a week? I don't have a cheat meal once a week. I don't have a cheat meal once a week. Here's a problem. If you continue eating these cheat meals, even if it's once a week, oh, I'm going to have a Sunday cheat meal. You know, I'm going to have some, cotton candy, and I'm going to have cheeseburgers full of oil, you know, from a fast food joint. You're just going to keep being addicted to that crappy food. And look, it's not the food that you're addicted to. It's that dopamine rush. So here's the thing. Here's a simple solution. If you stop eating the junky foods, you won't be addicted to them anymore. You'll start being addicted to healthy foods. You know what I'm addicted to? I'm addicted to things like raw nuts, okay? Not those types of nuts, mobster. I'm talking about like almonds, cashews. I love nuts.
Not the
I,
sweaty kind, no.
yeah, not so. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, I like broccoli. Shit, I love fucking broccoli. I'll fucking cook up some broccoli in my rice cooker. Fucking delicious. I'll get mixed vegetables. I'll cook them up. Delicious. I love my vegetables. I love tropical fruits. You know, my favorite fruit right now is jackfruit. I get a jackfruit, I chop it up, I put it in the freezer, chop them up in, you know, in little pieces, put them in my freezer. Whenever I want a snack, I'll just open up the freezer and I'll grab some frozen jackfruit. It's a wonderful snack, especially during the hot summer months.
One of the
Yeah.
things I've seen in the last 2, 3 years, Steve, that some top professionals are doing, and these are guys that need to stay in shape for seminars and for guest appearances, etc., is they won't have a cheat meal. They won't be eating pizza. They won't be eating ice cream. What they'll do is they'll double down on what they would normally eat. So say they're having some cooked peppers, some chicken breast, and rice, and maybe they're not 100% as restrictive as they would be going into a show, but it's still, I'm getting 4,000 calories a day, I'm hitting the gym for 2 hours, I'm getting my sports therapy done. What they'll do just to get over the sort of mental boredom that sometimes can come with the sort of 100% grind that's required to be the best in the world is double down. So what do I mean by that? Let's say that the meal is 800 calories, Steve, but it's clean. They'll go to 1200 calories, which means another chicken breast, another handful of rice, some more cooked peppers. So they'll just eat more calories. It's a way of actually stimulating the metabolism and giving you more food and satiating you, but it's still fucking clean. It's still controlled. It's still okay because I'm not in contest prep. I'm just doing guest posing and I want to look good. For the $5,000 or $10,000 they're going to pay me for doing this appearance, I want to have abs, I want to have veins, but I don't want to be chewing my fist with hunger. Like Steve said about the thing, we're going to move on now. But when I did the cut, Steve, I didn't have any cheap food. I didn't have any cheap meals. I didn't
Why do
have
you need a cheat
any.
meal? Our ancestors didn't sit around in caves in their huts and be like, "I need a cheat meal. Oh my God, I'm gonna go crazy." Look, you're addicted to the shitty food. So literally, just stop eating the shitty food, and you'll start being addicted to the healthy food. I love boring. I love chicken, rice, and broccoli. I love that shit. I mean, you learn to be addicted to the healthy foods, and then you start getting addicted to the healthy foods. But if you keep eating the cheat meals week in and week out, you'll always want to go back to those, you know, whenever you want. So just don't even keep it in your house. Just don't have it. So this is what I
Steve,
recommend. At the end of the day, come on the forum and check out the logs. Check out the guys in the logs, especially the Australian guys, and check out how they eat and how they food prep, and learn from what they're doing if you're, you know, still trying to figure this out. Or you can get in touch with me for a one-on-one consultation, and we'll sit down and we'll go over what you're eating now, and I'll help you transfer it over to a healthy eating. Because you've got to change your diet. You've got to change your diet. I don't care how much steroids you use, it's not going to do shit for you. You've got to change your diet.
Right, Steve, question that I asked you in a pre-show. We'll do this now for the listeners. Why are some steroids considered cutters? And we're obviously going to talk about those steroids versus bulkers. Why do we think some
That's a
steroids
good
are better than
question.
others?
So there's a couple main reasons why. Number one, some of the bulking steroids that are out there, they're going to add mass quickly. They're also going to add water retention quickly. So you're going to get visibly bigger. So if you're looking for a 4-pack or a 6-pack and getting harder and getting more vascular, that goes against what you're looking for. The second reason is appetite. If you're taking something like DECA or Dianabol or large amounts of testosterone, you're likely going to have a boost in appetite, and it's going to be difficult to cut on when your appetite is up, because you're going to want to eat, you know, all the time. You want to have a big meal and eat another meal and eat another meal. It's going to be obviously a lot of caloric intake, so it's going to make it difficult to cut down. You want to take steroids that don't fuck with your appetite, steroids that you don't have to keep carb loading, you know. So really, at the end of the day, everybody's gonna be a little different, but we can kind of give you a good idea of good cutter choices from Eurofarma. So why don't you start with some of your favorite cutting steroids from Eurofarma, Mobster?
One I'm looking at right now, Steve, and I just clicked on this a few seconds ago while you were talking. I've used a very, very similar product, Your pharmacist has done all the work for you, and they've put together a product called Cutting Mix 300. And I've literally used almost identical products, Steve, which consist of, and it says Trenbolone acetate 100 milligrams, Drostanolone propionate 100 milligrams, and Testosterone propionate 100 milligrams. I use a product like this. My waist, I said this before in other shows, went down by two belt notches and stayed there, still there now. And that would be a couple of years ago now, Steve. I recomped, because I think the Tren was the first time I'd ever used Tren. So I actually went back up in body weight and still kept a smaller waist. And I put in the effort with the cardio and whatever else. So what have they done? They put together a product with three different steroids that they know, based on users' experiences, like me and Steve when we do these shows, thousands and ten thousands and even millions of steroid users. And for the most part, like Steve said, they know that these three ingredients will give you great results. So they've done all the work for you there, Steve, in that particular one. It occurs to me, and I'll let Steve talk about this, that the classics would be, for example, products like Winstrol and why Winstrol dries you out. Steve's already touched upon the idea of Winstrol not being something that causes water retention. So talk about why Winstrol is such a great steroid, and especially with your personal experience of Winstrol, Steve.
Yeah, with Winstrol, like you'll be on it like within the first week and a half. You'll start noticing when you're working out, feels like a rubber bands in your joints. Your joints dry out so much. So if you're really, really lean already, and then you take the Winstrol, you're really, really cut up. Nothing dries you out like Winstrol. So it's the opposite of what I talked about earlier with the water retention. Some steroids you take increases water retention, like Dianabol, like Deca, like testosterone. But Winstrol does the opposite. It will dry you the hell out. And you're a pharma, they have great Winstrol options. They have an injectable Winstrol. They have one you can drink. They have an oral tablet Winstrol. So no matter what you're looking for, they're all going to affect your liver the same. I always recommend either the drinking it or taking the tab. I don't recommend injecting it, but some people prefer to inject. I think a small minority prefer to inject their steroids. And if that's what you like, then go for it. But the post-injection pain has been reported, since it's a water-based compound, has been an issue. I tried injecting Winstrol one time. I was like, nah, I'm good. I'm just gonna drink it going forward. So at the end of the day, you can definitely get good results on Winstrol in conjunction with some, other stacks, which we'll talk about on the next segment. The next one I'll talk about a little bit is Turonabol, one of my favorites. The nice thing about Turonabol is it's great if you want to do more cardio-centric training. And Eurofarma has excellent Turonabol options as well. We're going to talk about dosing on the next segment, but with Turonabol, the nice thing about it doesn't give you these crazy pumps. So you're able to go do cardio, you're able to go swimming, you're able to go and live an active lifestyle, surfing or kayaking or canoeing or jogging or running or any of this stuff. It's not going to give you the severe pumps as some of the other oral steroids like Winstrol would, or which Anavar would, which Mobster is going to talk about next. So this is why I like Turonabol a lot. So if you like a lot of cardio, Turonabol is a good option. You can also stack in Equipoise with it, and that would give you some good cardio options as well. So they're both good, Equipoise and Turonabol for that. And I'll give you one more injectable before I bring in Mobster to talk about his favorite Anavar, Imprimabolan. Imprimabolan is a great one. It's got low side effects. It's great if you like to go to the gym. It's the golden age steroid of choice. The guys in the 70s used to love Primobolan. So that's a good option as well that you can try out.
Regular listeners to this show will know how much of a fan I am of Anavar, and specifically for my own requirements, which is being as strong as I fucking can be, of course. The muscle for me is almost a side bonus, like a side hustle, a side chick. I get muscular as well, great, but it's not a necessity. But the majority of our listeners, we're talking about cutting today. So why Anavar? Well, I would argue that Anavar, a little bit like Primo, so is preserving muscle when you're doing a cut. Because it can be hard to get more muscle. That's recomposition, of course, at the same time as doing a cut. We're only looking here to sort of maintain our muscle tissue, to keep the muscles that we've worked so fucking goddamn hard to grow and to thicken and to become more muscular while stripping away the fat, while getting cut. So for me, I would be looking to reserve muscle tissue, and Anavar would be great for that as well. if you wasn't doing a cut, it's actually a really good lean mass gainer. And again, you're looking at 30 to 50 milligrams a day, Steve, typically 4 to 8 weeks as usual. One of the things you can do is clean up your diet and get your cardio going. Watch, as Steve said earlier on, the pumps. You can look at taurine, etc., to help you with the pump somewhat, because that will actually be a pain in the ass for cardio. Cardio is a huge point, a part, of course, of getting cut. And again, I'd be looking at stuff like that. In fact, to avoid the pumps, I'd probably keep it to 30 milligrams a day. For strength purposes, I'd probably push it up towards 50 milligrams a day. One of the things I like, Steve, is they got something here called a summer cutting mix, which is a combination. I think we mentioned it on a recent show of both Anavar and a Winstrol in the form of 20 milligrams of Winstrol, all version, obviously, and 30 milligrams of Anavar. That's for a total of 50 milligrams. I'd be running that at one pill, probably half a pill in the morning, half a pill of a night time, one pill a day, again, 4 to 8 weeks. And they know, like I just said, you've got the drying out effects of the low dose Winstrol and the muscle preserving effects and to some degree strength of the 30 milligrams a day of Anavar. And it actually ties in with the suggestion that I just come up dosage wise. So that I like, again, as we said earlier on, that Europharmacies has done some of the work for you and put together a product that they know you're going to use and the great and vast majority of users is going to help you in combination with cardio, in combination with diet, get you into shape. So all those muscles that you're showing are exposed and visible for people to see.
Yeah,
Steve.
and Mobster mentioned earlier the EP Cutting Mix 300, which included trenbolone and Masteron being a great hardener. Trenbolone, a lot of you may react well to trenbolone when you're eating clean, but I think most of you will not. So the problem with trenbolone is it demands a lot of carbs. So what will happen is if you're not getting in a lot of carbs, a lot of sugars, a lot of glycogen, what will happen is you'll wake up in the middle of the night and sweat, night sweats. You'll wake up in the middle of the night, shaking. You'll have no energy during the day. So I found with Tren, it really depends on carbs. So it may not be a great option for this particular topic when it comes to quote unquote eating clean. Because on Tren, you almost have to. What I would do on Tren is I would have apple juice on hand, and I also have frozen pancakes on hand, and I drench the pancakes in like raw honey, because what would happen is, at some point, my side effects would get so bad, it's almost like your blood sugar. You get like hypo symptoms on Tren, so it may not be the best option if you want to really eat super clean on it, especially if you are trying to overcome a poor diet as it is. But some of you, like I said, will react really well with it and you'll just be able to push through the side effects. So let's talk about effective cutter stacks and dosing, Mobster.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask you one more question, Steve, and we can tie this in with these stacks and dosing.
Okay.
We're not recommending the Masteron. Why? And the reason why, again, Steve said already, is a hardener. If you are in shape, if you are already cut, Masteron will shine.
Yeah.
Masteron is also great for boosting your free test, but I don't see it. And I know a lot of people would argue this when we see it all the time. People go, well, Masteron's a cutter. No, your diet's a cutter. The cardio's a cutter.
That's
Winstrol's
good.
a cutter. The other drugs we talked about are drugs. But Masteron is a hardener.
Yeah, I
It
agree.
might
Yeah.
cut you a little bit, but I would rather choose, make better choices than choose Masteron and hope that it's going to get me into shape. If you're in shape, abso-fucking-lutely, it's going to make you look rock hard. You're going to have rock hard muscles. You're going to really shine. But in and of itself, no. So that's the reason why we don't bang that particular drum too loudly.
So let's get
What
into
about the
some.
length of time for cycles and stuff like that? Yep,
Yeah,
Steve.
let's get into some shuffle some ideas. So we've already given you individual steroids that you can go to Europharma and purchase, but how do you stack them and how long do you use them? What's the dosing? So let me give you a good one. If you like cardio-centric stuff, if you like to be active, you like to go to the gym 3 or 4 times a week, then you like to go do cardio, the other days of the week, plus do more cardio and stay very, very active. So the Equipoise Toronto Ball Mix, which I got into in the last segment briefly, would be, I think, a good option. And with the Equipoise, you can run anywhere from 300 to 400 milligrams a week. And then you can run the Toronto Ball anywhere from 20 to 30 milligrams a day. And that would be a really, really good one. Now, Equipoise is a long ester. So what I would recommend is you run the Toronto Bowl early on the cycle, maybe the first 4 or 5 weeks, take a couple weeks off, and then run it the last 4 or 5 weeks again. And you could go 12 weeks on that cycle total. So that would be a good cardiocentric cycle that you could do, Mobster.
I'm also looking at Steve, just thinking out loud again, and this is the beginning of the cycle versus the end of the cycle, about estrogen issues in terms of water retention and how you respond to certain steroids. I would prefer for the most part guys that you use the steroids you have some experience with and that you know work for you and then control those variables. So therefore, if you are slightly out of shape at the beginning by fat, you might have more estrogen issues than you should have less. As you get leaner, all things being equal. Again, Steve, I would probably look at, and again, this is not something necessarily that I recommend for all users, but we know that you're getting results, and especially if you can control some of the issues, we know, for example, that the Tyrannobol, like Steve said, is going to help you 20, 30 milligrams a day and Tren. But again, this is probably more for your experienced users, people that understand how it works for them. And they don't have some of the issues that Steve's described earlier on. Trend-wise, Steve, you and I are probably going to agree on this in terms of length of cycle, 8 to 12 weeks, if you can handle the trend for that long. 8 weeks would probably be easier, again, depending on your experience. And arguably, Steve, and I think you'd agree with this, I don't really see most users needing to go much over 300 milligrams a day. And again, I want you to have some experience with PEDs. I want you to understand the side effects. I want you to understand the benefits. We sometimes describe, and I think it's reasonable to do so, Trent as for advanced users versus just being, as an example, Steve, the Winstrol, whether it's injectable or drunk or whatever else, one of the things that we talk about there, again, circa 300 milligrams a week, 8 to 12 weeks. You could combine that with other products, obviously. Again, I'd probably include the T-bold in there, Steve, because I'm going to want to increase my cardio. I want my cardiovascular output to go up and help me control the decrease in my body fat and get it used for energy and not to keep me warm on the weakest night. I would look at, for example, some nut oils or fish oils just to help my joints and also hydration. Again, these are to help negate some of the side effects that you get on these cycles. Purely and simply with Winstrol because of that drying out effect that Steve described earlier on. It can be very uncomfortable. Ironically, Steve, it's going to get more uncomfortable the leaner and more cut you get. So don't be, you know, what you look like in a mirror is not necessarily a nice sensation physically, but it will certainly be rewarding in terms of the effort and work that you've put in. Any stack more stacking and cycle suggestions, Steve, before we talk about your pharmacies?
Yeah, let me give you a couple more. If you want to do the trend, as Mobster mentioned, Anavar or Tyrannobol will be a good option with the trend. And I would go 30 to 50 milligrams on the Anavar and Tyrannobol. And I would go with Tren Ace 8 weeks or less, especially if you're new to it. And I agree with them. 300 milligrams tops, even 200 or 250. I found there's not any difference between 250 and 300 or 350, except the side effects just go up. So for me, I like to keep the trend very, very moderate. And if you're already lean, you could do the trend and Masteron. That would be great. One more for those of you who like low side effects, Primobolan. You could do that for 12 weeks, 300 to 500 milligrams a week. And you could stack in T-Bol or Anavar with it as an oral. Stack it in at the beginning, stack it in towards the end. And you can add in some testosterone at a low dosage. And that would keep your side effects low by keeping that testosterone low.
Just a thought on that, Stephen. I was thinking about testosterone. We haven't really made too much of a point of that. And there might be reasons for that. But what we do see in competition stacks, and for those of you looking to get in shape for a specific challenge or a particular date that's required, like $100 bet with your buddies or whatever, modeling gig, is that what we see in competition cycles is as longer esters used at the beginning and shorter esters used at the end. So for example, it's again that controlling the variables using like an enanthate or a cypionate at the beginning if you're using testosterone, and then you will see bodybuilders use much shorter esters like propionate, etc., at the end because they want quicker in, quicker out, and they want to be able to control those variables. And if something's in your system for fucking weeks, and it's a mistake, it's a lot more difficult to hit those numbers on the day that you were aiming for to be stage ready. So that's the reason why you will see short arresters used in that particular regards. Something else that Steve and I have touched upon before when we talk about these kind of things is the idea of if something's not working at a particular dose, you can change it. If something is working, you might get slightly better results with a small increase, 50 to 100 milligrams a week, for example, of any of the injectables that we described. You will see that flexibility, which previously I was great one for planning, and that's what I'm going to do, Stephen. There's no need to change it. In reality, you're getting it, you're changing from out of shape guys into shape. You're going from 10, 15, 20% down to 10%, 8%, 7%, and the variables are changing. So therefore, there might be a little bit of a manipulation, a little bit of moving the numbers around as you get into better shape. And especially, I think you use this phrase sometimes, Steve, as certain products start to shine. So don't be too fixated on plan A, and that's all we're fucking doing. You can have a plan B and you can have a plan C and move things around as your condition improves, or even if, Steve, it doesn't improve and you need to change things up. Let's talk about Europharmacies
Yeah, one
themselves.
more thing though I want to mention too. GLP-1s would be a great option here because
Yes, yeah.
they're gonna help you control your appetite, and they're also gonna help you eat more clean. It's gonna give you some more motivation to eat clean. So it's a very, very good idea to really look into the GLP-1 options. And Europharma does have semaglutide, and they will have tirzepatide and retatrutide at some point. And as the GLP-1s continue to evolve, they will continue to have more down the line. Go ahead.
On the Europharmacy site, Steve, I'm literally clicking on one of their resellers. They've got it tabulated for a fat loss tab. So you can literally go and see their fat loss or their leading fat loss products. That's above and above the steroids that we've just spoken about, including, as Steve just said, semaglutide. So, like I said, working with their resellers, making sure that everything you need is laid out in a very easy to understand way that these products at this dose, or they give you dosage suggestions as well, Steve, like we've done on this show, to use these products will help you if you train, if your cardio is on point, if your nutrition is on point. These products will help you get the best results. That's the reason why we talk about brands like Europharmacies. We say 20 years in the business, we talk about quality of product, we talk about the least amount of post-injection pain that we've seen across the industry wide in compared to previous decades, historically speaking. Why companies like Europharmacies have lasted so long? So look, they last long because they produce products that work. They last the length of time because when their products are tested by themselves, by independent labs, or by users like yourself, the products are found to be on point. Why do I describe this? I think we said at the beginning of the show as my GOAT, one of the greatest of all time brands. Because I'll use this very simple, silly little example, Steve, but it works. I was talking to a buddy at the gym last Friday, and I said about, oh, got some Europharmacies product in my stash, blah, 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 blah. Just having that kind of bro bullshit conversation type conversation. And he says, oh, are they any good? I said, motherfucker, you spotted me squatting 1,000 pounds on the Hatfield squat. That's using Europharmacies products. So you can see that I'm as strong as fuck using low dose Europharmacies products.
It's like no
Yeah,
shit,
what the fuck? Come on. We know, look, I'm not just going to big it up for myself because we're doing a show, Steve. We mentioned on a recent show how, going onto the forums, I quoted three logs plus my own, and I said every single one of these people, me included, was using Europharmacies products. One is breaking PRs on a regular basis. Both the husband and the wife are probably going to be getting national US records in their body weight division for their age, for their sex, for being a male, female, 50 plus, whatever years of age. 600 more pounds deadlift for the male. She wants to do 1,000 pounds total. Our former, what we call friendly professional bodybuilder, was a Europharmacies user of products. And we talked about him being arguably as professional as it is possible to be. Promos, working at exhibitions, always being in muscular shape, always being vascular. You go, why is that? It's because he knows, they know, I know, and Steve knows that the products that we're using is, I think there's a phrase here for a company that I won't mention, Steve, makes varnish for wood. And the phrase that their byline, their tag on the adverts was, does what it says on the tin, meaning there's no frills, there's no bullshit. It is what it's supposed to be. It works how it's supposed to work. It's high fucking quality. Why would you not want to use Europharmacies for those reasons? You want to get great results, use a brand that you respect, that you know works. If you want to come on the forums and just look, any brand, but they're looking for Europharmacies, you come on there and you go, just put Europharmacies into the search engine, see what comes up, and you won't see a negative comment. We're not editing people's comments. We're big believers in free speech, so we're not changing what they said. This is people's own opinion. I can't think of in the last, must be 8 or 9 years, Steve, certainly 5 or 6 years doing these shows with you, in 8 or 9 years that I've been on Evolutionary, maybe 2 or 3 times in all those years on a daily basis, 2 or 3 days, 2 or 3 comments that have been negative out of the thousands of days and thousands of comments that I can think of. And the reason for that is because they are trusted, they're tested, they work the way they're supposed to work. And if you put your work in, listen, guys, and especially to finish the show off, if you put the work in eating clean, if you come onto the forums and run a log, if you meal prep, if you go to the gym and kill it with the weights, if you get up early in the morning, last thing at night, in a break at work, if you're smashing a fucking cardio, then you want a brand like Europharmacies to help you get the best results. And we do these shows, and I'll just bring Steve in for this as well. We do these shows because we want you. You are going to be our recommendation. The thing that Steve said right at the beginning, I'll just echo something you said, Steve, about the community aspects. As a group, as a whole, members on Evolutionary and other forums that we associate this show with are probably, arguably, historically, the most helpful overall group of people you will find. And that power of the community, helping people, pointing them in the right direction, stopping them making mistakes is enormous. Talk a little bit about that as well as Europharmacists and how supportive they are as well, Steve, before we finish the show.
Yeah, it's very important when you're buying steroids. The number one thing, obviously, is to make sure that you're eating a healthy diet. That's number one. But number two, if you're going to use steroids, obviously, it's important to make sure that you are getting quality products. So you want to know what you buy is the real thing. So you're a pharmacy, you know when you buy their Anavar, you know when you buy their Primo, you're getting what you want. Those are very highly faked products. So they have everything you could possibly need. And they have great customer service and they have great prices as well. So it's very, very affordable. We're seeing more and more blue collar. Used to be white collar, where most of the people who used steroids back in the 90s and 2000s, because steroids were a lot more affordable compared to what people were making. Now, even the working class, the blue collar folks, there are a lot of blue collar guys, construction guys, plumbers, electricians, all kinds of guys who used to not be able to afford using steroids. Now they're able to afford steroids, and it's thanks to Europharma providing high quality gear at a great, great price. So gone are the days where you used to buy steroids the back of the gym from the guy in the white van, and he used to charge you 3, 4 times margin on it. Europharmacies, they can produce it in bulk, and they can pass the savings on to you.
Absolutely, Steve. On a like-for-like basis, you guys are paying 4 times less per vial, even allowing for inflation, etc., than you was back in the day. Just to finish on that thought, Steve, I've talked about other shows that used to exist many, many years ago that don't exist anymore, and they would do the trips to Mexico, and it was $120 a vial. No fucker's paying $120 a vial there. It's way less. So, in the real terms, you're a pharmacist. I'll bring you some of the best prices you've ever paid and the top quality material. Please note, we are not doctors and the opinions are ours. It is our view based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment.